Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Matthew chapter number 13. Amen. Matthew chapter number 13. We're going to read a couple of verses here this morning. Praise God. Let's begin at verse number 31. Matthew chapter number 13 and verse number 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Amen. Praise God. There's a lot that we could take out of this, but I just want to talk to us here this morning about the Bible said that the least of all the seeds, he said, but when it is grown, amen, when it is grown, it is the greatest among the herbs. Praise God. I've had a couple of different titles for this throughout the last couple of days, but today I'm going to settle upon this, the principle of life. Amen. The principle of life. Praise God. Would you help me pray here today that the will of God would be accomplished here this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen and amen. And God bless you. And if you're going to help me today, amen, you can be seated. Some of you is already seated by faith. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The principle of life. Amen. In the beginning, the Bible says, Genesis chapter 1, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. A few verses later, he said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so upon that third day. Began to implement the things that would have life. Verse number, I don't know what verse it is, but on the fifth day, the Bible said that God created the fish, and he created the fowls of the air and the beast of the field and of the cattle. And on the sixth day, the Bible teaches us that God created mankind. And then we know throughout Scripture that all of the forms of life that was created, that they were to grow and were to multiply. I understand that some of them was in a sense created in a stage of maturity. And that is why that there can be the question that would be asked, did Adam have a belly button? And some would understand that and others would not understand that. But you can go talk to your mama about that. There had to be a sense and a stage of maturity that was there and that way that God created them. But the Bible says in the next chapter that out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And the tree of life also was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen. All of these trees, all of these fish and the beast and the cattle and the fowls of the air and mankind began to grow and began to multiply upon the face of the earth. As a matter of fact, in Genesis chapter number 5, five chapters into the Bible, several hundred years having elapsed, we see that there is an entire chapter that is given to the growth of one. Amen. There are 10 generations from Adam all the way to Noah, signifying that life just continued to prosper as the people continued to grow. And so there is a principle that is involved in the law of growth. And anything that is showing growth is exhibiting the natural evidence of life, from the smallest seed to the in the soil to the newborn child in the mother's arms. Anything that is alive is marked by the capacity to grow. And in our text, we see that there is the mustard seed, and that even though it begins almost imperceptibly small, but because that there is life within it, the Bible teaches us that it cannot, will not, and should not remain in that small estate, but that it will continue to grow until it is the greatest among the herbs. Amen. We also know that growth may be slow, and growth may be hidden to the naked eye, and at times growth may be resisted. But I've come to tell you today that where there is life, there will also be progress. Or where there is life, there is going to be growth. Even the very smallest weed in just a little insignificant seed can be planted underneath 6 inches of heavy concrete. But somehow or another, because that there is life within it, it possesses the capacity to do whatever it takes to get up and through that concrete. And as the ground would settle and there may be a crack, and even the smallest little a hint of life and the water that would seep down and through and under would give life unto that seedling, and it would push its way through that strong concrete and begin to thrive and become a very strong, even though it's a weed, it would become a very strong weed. It's hard, and you know this if you work in your yards, it's hard to kill a weed. You can put poison on it. You can cover it in bullrock, and you can take all of that fancy fabric that they say, this is the stuff that'll do it. I'm just telling you, it's not. And it doesn't. Amen. You can poison that stuff, throw fabric on there, overlay it twice, and there's still going to be weeds that is going to come up in that. Somebody said, well, the birds came by and they deposited it. Somehow or another, when you're pulling that weed up, you see that it came through that fabric. And that's just the way of life. That is the capacity of growth that is there within that. Amen. On the other hand, we would look at things and we would say that things that do not possess any type of life, they do not and will not and cannot grow upon their own ability. A stone is going to remain unchanged. No matter how much time passes, no matter how much water that you put on it, and it's simply because there is no life within that stone. And so the moment that life ends in a plant or in an animal or in a person, growth stops and decay begins. Praise the Lord. That's just the principle of life. If there is going to be life, then there will be growth. And if there is going to be growth, then there must be life. Amen. Without life, there can be no growth. Amen. Growth is not going to take place without some form of life. And so the Bible teaches us in Genesis 2 that the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Job chapter number 33 says that the Spirit of God hath made me, Job declared, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Amen. There no growth in a living individual signifies that something is wrong. Adam was born. Adam was formed, and breath was put into him. Life happened, and he grew. Job was formed. Amen. Life was put into him, and he grew to become a man. But every time that there is no growth, then we look at that and we say, you know what? There's something that is wrong in this individual, or with this animal, or whatever it is. Even though it may possess life, if there is no growth within that life, then it signifies that something is wrong. Praise God. I'm thankful that when God created us, he had a plan for us, and that plan wasn't for us just to stay little infants and stay so dependent upon somebody else to do that. I'm glad that God is not in the business of just, you know, you wake up one morning and then all of a sudden you got a 13-year-old sleeping in the room somewhere that God created and planted there. Once a 13-year-old, always a 13-year-old. But as life, we began to learn and we began to grow and we began to mature and we gain wisdom and we gain knowledge and such. Amen. And it's just the presence, it's the essence, it's the manner, it's the law of life that we grow. And not only do we grow in stature, but we do grow in wisdom. We do grow in knowledge. Amen. And again, any time that that growth is not present within the matter of life, then there is something that is wrong in that area. Amen. But it goes even much further than all of that, because we know that even though that we have been born of a natural birth, amen, Jesus would tell Nicodemus that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And then he said, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Hallelujah. You must be born again. Amen. Peter would begin to elaborate upon this process of being born of the Spirit. As he said in his first epistle, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. In his next epistle, he would say, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God. The knowledge of God, amen, is needed and is going to show as we begin to grow in him. The knowledge of God with inside of us needs to grow, signifying spiritual birth. I've come to preach to us today, it's time to grow in the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I said it's time to grow in the Lord. Amen. We don't need to be complacent in it. We don't need to find a place, amen, of spiritual maturity that we just sit down and let somebody else do it. Amen. We're either progressing or we're digressing. Amen. We're either growing or we're decaying. If there is life, there is going to be the sound of life. When life was breathed into the upper room on the day of Pentecost, there was the sound sound of the wind, but it didn't stop with the sound of the wind, but it started with the sound of the Spirit as they began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them the utterance, signifying there is spiritual life in this individual. God came down and breathed the breath of spiritual life into 120, and they began to be spiritual and living individuals. But they didn't stop there. They went out and they grew in grace. They grew in the knowledge of God. They grew, amen, in evangelism. They grew, amen, according to the ways and the laws of God. You know why? It's just natural that we grow. It's just natural that we grow. You need to discipline yourself. You need to challenge yourself. I need to grow in the Lord. I want to grow in the Lord. I'm not going to be satisfied just in this capacity. I want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, let's magnify Him here today. Praise God. And so we have this thing called life. And in life, we have challenges. And challenges would cause a stunt of growth. Growth stunt. And it either causes us to be stronger or it causes us to stop progressing. And this is the principle of life. Because these things that are in life that challenge us, we could name and define as all kinds of different things. We could say it's just having to learn life. But in reality, it's not just a challenge, but it can be a problem. Problems in life often stunt the growth of an individual. I don't have time. I don't really have the desire to get into all that science would say that you and I need to be doing to progress life, because that we are either progressing or digressing. We're either going towards the climax of life or we're digressing from that climax. And so they say that muscular atrophy begins to happen. Natural sense of decay within the body concerning the muscles begins to happen somewhere after the age of 40. And so in order to increase the muscle capacity, you have got to challenge yourself. But what they forgot to put in there is that hurts. Amen. I was talking to Brother Boney one time and he said, you know what? He said, this getting old ain't for sissies. And he said, you know, if it would have come to me back when I was my 20s and 30s, I'd have whipped it real good. Sent it running back to mama. But old age don't come when you're in your 20s and 30s. It comes around when you're, you know, and you're starting to recognize things when you're in your 40s. And then 50s, it's really talking to you, I guess. It's talking to me right now at 40s. Amen. But I'm there in 50. And then it just gets, they say it just gets worse and worse. Your joints hurt. And you don't want to get out of bed. And you get out of bed and all of these things, they hurting, your ankles hurt, your feet hurt, your knees hurt, your hips hurt, your elbows hurt. All of these things are hurting it. You get out and you walk like some robot, some zombie as you're trying to get everything flowing and stuff. And you finally get limbered up and you get things moving and such. But you know, in reality, they say, no, that's what you need to work on. If you're going to be able to keep that movement, if you're going to be able to keep what you got, then you've got to use it. And if you don't use it, then you lose it. And so there is the natural process of decay that begins to happen. And you and I, we've got to fight against this, and we've got to push ourselves. And here I am. I'm just over here shaking my arm like this. It's because my elbow hurts right now. And I hold this like this for so long, and then the elbow hurts, and you gotta get it moving and such. And that just happens. It happens to everybody. I guess, Brother Tom, that's a good sign that we're still alive. Amen. Every day is a good day to be above dirt. That's just something him and I shared on a good Sunday morning. But this is the principle of life, that as long as there is life there ought to be continued growth. And even though we may have reached our structural frame and our structural height, and we're not going to get any taller and such, you know what, we're going to get a little bit shorter. And even though we may have reached the capacity of growing through our bones and such, that does not mean that we stop growing in other ways and in other things, and our mental capacity and our knowledge and our wisdom and all of these other things, they need to grow. And the same is true in our spiritual life. You cannot sit around on the spiritual couch and be a spiritual potato, a couch potato, and expect to grow in the spirit. Because there's going to be some things that are going to come your way, and they're going to hurt. You're not going to feel the best. You're not going to feel strong enough, amen, to overcome it and to overpower it. And you've got to discipline yourself to continue to grow in grace and to grow in the knowledge of God. You're going to have to discipline yourself in prayer. You're going to have to discipline yourself to the reading and the studying of the Word of God. You're going to have to discipline yourself to listen and to obey. Mama and Daddy would always say same things. I told you if you did that, that was going to hurt. But you had to go find out your own self. And you know what? It did hurt. But the grace of God and the knowledge of God begins to teach us and begins to lead us. But at some point in time, we've got to grow with it instead of resisting it. And that which you give life to grows. Amen. I said that which you give life unto grows. Everybody's got problems in their life. And some of these problems start out insignificant or imperceptibly small. These problems start off even as our text would talk about that mustard seed and how that it is so small. But when that mustard seed is given attention, when that mustard seed is put into the ground, when that mustard seed is given water, then it begins to grow and it becomes a very strong and a very large tree, becomes an herb, the greatest herb of all, because that it is given attention. And some of our problems, they grow in our life, not because we're trying to diminish them, but we're giving them the wrong type of attention, and they grow and they magnify themselves, and they get larger and they get larger. Hey man, I'm here today to tell you that small things can become large things simply because of the principle of life. When you give life to your problems, it's going to grow and grow. When you sit there and meditate on nothing but the problems of life, hey man, it's going to compound. You know why people get so depressed? Because they can't get off of the problems that they've got in life. And the therapist is saying, you got to stop thinking about that. You need to get active over here. You're depressed because you're not active. You got to be disciplined. You got to do this. You got to do that. But you got to stop giving life to the problem. You got to stop thinking about it. You got to stop talking about it. You're going to have to put an end to it. You've got to take the life out of the problem so that the problem will stop growing. There's people that have problems in life that seem almost insignificant to get over. Just can't seem to get past this problem. And so we go talk to somebody. And we can say, now, Brother Garrett, Brother Gavin has a really hard problem that he's trying to get over, and he just really can't seem to get past this problem. What do you think of that? And because that Garrett doesn't have the same problem, he may say, it's no big deal. You know why? It doesn't have space in his life. It doesn't have life in his life. There's no life in that problem for him. And so it can be insignificant to somebody, but it can be almost unable to get over to another individual. Because one individual can do nothing but give it life. But another individual, it's a mute thing in their life. It's not even worth thinking about. It's not even worth considering. There are problems that we have in life that do not affect others. But the way that the best way to handle these problems is to quickly put them to death. Somebody saying, oh, wait till I get home. My husband is raw meat. He's getting ready to go see Jesus. I'm going to get rid of a problem. You didn't have to say it. I saw it. No. Problems that are allowed to grow just continue to get bigger and bigger. Hey, amen. Let me go back to my notes because I was almost done. I'm not done, but Solomon said that it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. Little foxes become big foxes. I remember many, many years ago out at my grandparents' house, they had a old metal roof, and you could lay in the back room and you could hear, you know, when the rain was falling and stuff. But during the summertime, if we ever slept over at grandma and grandpa's house in the back room, somewhere in the early hours of the morning or the late hours of the morning, however you define it, you'd hear things begin to hit the roof. And so we put a real large spotlight outside, because it'd just be loud and obnoxious, and there's no way that you're going to be able to sleep. And so we flip that spotlight on and look at it, and the whole area is just full of a bunch of coons. And what was happening was the little coons would get up in the pecan trees, and they would throw out the pecans to the larger coons, and the larger coons would take it, and they would go take it, and they'd go put it away at home. But the large ones knew that they couldn't get up in the top because that the limbs would break. And so those little ones, they would get up there and they would just shake the tree or whatever, and all the pecans would come falling out of that. But it just shows you that little ones become big ones. Small problems become large problems. Small foxes spoil the vines, but they become large foxes. And somewhere or another, you've got to deal with these things, these issues and these problems. Amen. And so these problems sometimes are even put to death, and they are in our past. But you know what? There are times that I have seen that backsliders that come back to God oftentimes fight with the same spirit that got them the first time. They fight with that back. You know, and the one reason is because the enemy knows that that's how he got you the first time. And it just doesn't go for backsliders. It goes for any child of God that has an issue or that has problems with a certain area in life. The devil is not going to come back with new things until he's for sure that the one thing is dead. But the Bible teaches us that when an unclean spirit has gone out of a man, that it comes back seeking rest. Amen. The haunts of yesterday come back again. And the problems that you had yesterday are going to come back again. And if you give them time, if you give them attention, then they are going to come back to abide in your house. You've got to make sure that you put these things away and that they stay away, and you don't go back and revisit them. You don't go back and resurrect them from the dead. If God has given you the victory over these things, then they need to stay in the graveyard. I made a statement here some time ago, and I still hold true with the statement. And I said, you know, that I'm not going to stand here and I'm not going to preach against social media at this particular time, but that I reserve the right to do so if it ever becomes a church-wide problem. Amen. But I do reserve the right to step into anybody's life and say, you need to get rid of social media because you just can't get the victory over that. Amen. To some, it may be an issue, but to others, it may be a non-issue. Amen. But if you get the victory over it and you say, well, I'm going to go try it out another, you know, the fifth or the sixth time or the 12th time. Amen. And you go back to that and you still can't get victory. You need to leave it in the grave. You got to make sure that you're funneling the right energy to the right place. Amen. So that proper growth can happen. Amen. That which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the spirit is spirit. I can get over into Romans chapter number 7 and talk about the one that you feed the most is going to be the strongest. He's going to grow. You feed that old carnal man all kinds of carnal things throughout the week, then the carnal man is going to destroy the spiritual man every time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's called the principle of life. If you give attention and you give time to the carnal things of life way more, or you totally neglect the spiritual things of life, amen, you will be a carnal minded man. And the Bible said that the carnal mind is enmity against God. Praise God. Amen. There is a secret that is in there. If you're struggling, if you're having a hard time living for God, you need to step back and begin to evaluate some things. What am I giving time to? If you're giving time to negativity, if you're giving time to problems, if you're giving time to all of the things of this world, amen, that could be a great indicator of some things that need to be taken out of your life. If God is speaking to you and dealing with some things, amen, that are in your life, amen, that is showing you, amen, God's loving, tender care towards you. That God's saying, hey, you need to take care of this issue. But when you get to the place, amen, that you know more than the Word of God, and the Word of God speaks to you, and the Word of God tells you, hey, this is what you've got to do if you're going to be saved. And you can take your opinion, and you can say, well, I know that the Word of God says this, but I think that it's okay, or I feel that that was back for Bible days. You're going to continue to struggle in that area because you're giving life to sinful things. You're giving life, amen, to carnal things. Hallelujah. You've got to know how to be able to put these things out of your life so that they don't continue to grow. As I'm sorry to tell you, but they become like a spiritual cancer that gets in the body, the spiritual body. That spiritual cancer begins to metastasize. In other words, it may have started in the area. It may have started in the area of lust. But see, what happens with that is little cancer cells break off from the tumor that is there. And they flow in the bloodstream. And the Bible said that life is in the blood. And so those little cancer cells break off of that tumor and they get in the bloodstream and they transfer to another place and they metastasize and they begin to grow in other areas. And before too much time has progressed, if you don't take care of it, amen, then what? Your body is full of cancer. And so you got to make sure that you take care of these things when they're small things, because just the principle of life says that it's going to grow. And so you've got to take care of it, because it may have started off as lust, but the Bible said that when lust is conceived, it grows. I'll say it like that. It grows into sin. And sin culminates, finalizes in death. When lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, James says, brings forth death. It just continues to grow, but it's growing in the wrong way. And so you've got to make sure that you take care of these little problems and these little issues along life's ways. Amen. And the devil wants to tell you it's just a little small thing. It's no big deal. I think that you could handle it. I mean, you're a pretty tough little cookie. You're a big guy. You're a mature Christian. This little thing isn't going to bother you so much. It's not going to be a big deal to you. At any given time, you can stop it if you want it. At any given time, you can walk away from it if you want to. At any given time, amen, you can set it aside. You can do away with it. You can conquer. You can whip it. You can destroy. You can put it to death. You can do all of that. But what the devil is trying to do is use the principle of life. If I can plant this in his heart, if I can plant this in his life somewhere, if I can plant this in his spirit somewhere, then through the principle of life, it is going to grow. Amen. That's why when you look at your flower bed and it's got just a little bitty weed out there, or it's got a few little weeds out there, and you can think to yourself, oh, I got time. Amen. But one day you wake up and you're thinking to yourself, my Lord, I didn't know I was growing a jungle. And that's the way that it is in your spiritual life. It begins to grow. It begins to multiply. Amen. Even as all of the beasts of the field, the fish of the sea, and the cattle of the land, and the birds and the fowl of the air begins to multiply. And it begins to grow and grow and grow. And your problems are doing these things. You've got to be sure that you take care of these things when they are in their small, in the small process of life. You've got to make sure that don't give the devil a step. Don't give him an inch. Don't open the door. Don't crack the door into him, because small things become big things, and you've got to be the keeper of your soul. You've got to make sure that you're taking care of your life. Amen. You got to be sure that you're growing like you need to grow in the Lord, in the grace of God. Amen. In the knowledge of God. You got to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. You got to make sure that you're causing your spiritual man to progress and to grow in strength like it needs to. Praise the Lord. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. You got to put life to your faith. You do. You got to put life to your faith. And the enemy knows that without faith it is impossible to please God. So he's going to have to destroy your faith. He's going to have to do whatever he can do and all that he can do to destroy and to wreck your faith. Because then there's that break. There's that connection. Because without faith it's impossible to please God. And so you've got to work on that. You have got to keep. You've got to be the gardener of your life. You've got to be the keeper of your soul. You've got to pay attention to the small things in life, because the small things possess the ability, the capacity to grow. And they're going to grow into large things. And it's up to you to make sure that they don't. Amen? Did you let me preach for here just for a little while longer? You know, when somebody calls you and begins to talk negatively about your church or about the people in your church or about the things of God and the truth, amen, that's a good time to let them know that your ear is not a dump ground for them to come dump all of their negativity and critique in your spirit. Why? Because you've got to protect your spirit. Oh, I know the devil says, well, that's just, you know, really insignificant. And if you tell them that, then you're going to break family ties and they're not going to want to talk to you. Look, I'm trying to make it to heaven. I'm trying to get to heaven. I don't have time to sit there and to weed my garden, amen, of all the negativity that you're sowing into it. You know why negative things grow into your life? Because we're depositing negative things into our life. And when you deposit these things into your life, don't be so surprised when they grow. Amen. Bitterness grows in your life because we give time to things of bitterness. That is the truth. That is the truth. Amen. Praise God. I'll just say it like this. I was talking with an individual one time, and they told me, they said, I just felt like I wanted to tell you why that I left the Pentecostal way. I said, okay. And he said, well, I left Pentecost because of this, 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 and this. And they began to tell me of everything that happened and all the people that had done him wrong and all these other things that happened. And I told the individual, I said, you know what? I said, let me just tell you something. I said, I've gone through the exact same things, and you know that I've gone through the exact same things, and even with the exact same people. But truth is still the truth. Amen. And I purpose to stay in the truth. Because that they want to act like a bunch of goofballs or anything else like that, doesn't taint truth. Amen. Truth is truth. And I plan on staying in the truth. But if I'm going to stay in the truth, there's some things that I've got to make sure that are cut off. There are some things, amen. And you know what? People are going to do you wrong. People are going to offend you. People are going to talk bad. People are going to ridicule. People are going to critique you and such like that. But you shouldn't be so surprised about that, because the Bible says, amen, Jesus said, you will be hated of all men for my name's sake. Praise God. And you've got to make sure, amen, you're the one that's on the straight and narrow. And you've got to make sure that you stay on that straight and narrow. I don't have time to listen to all the critique. I don't have time to listen to all the negativity. I don't have time for all of that depositing into my spirit if I don't have to. Let me just clarify. If you need to talk about some things, we're here to talk about some things. We're here to get you through some things. We're here to help you along these things. But I'm talking about people that want to do nothing but run down the church. Run down the people of God. Run down God. Run down the preacher. Run down all these other things. You don't have time to listen to all of that, because small things become big things in your life. I got to protect my faith. I got to protect my faith. Amen. I remember talking to my pastor one time, and I told him about a problem, amen, that I was having. Bishop, there's this individual, and this, and this happened, and this is going on, and it's a big deal and stuff. And you know what? His fine, amen, intellect and wisdom and capacity of knowledge, you know how it all came to me? He said, you know what I think? I said, that's why I called you. I want to know what you think. He said, it just needs a good ignoring, because when you ignore some things, they tend to go away. There are some things in your life that don't need attention. It just needs a good ignoring. Amen. As long as you're not paying attention to it, you'll snuff the life right out of it. Amen. The devil will go looking for something else to find, to combat you with. But if I'm going to give time to anything, I'm going to give time to the things of God. I'm going to give time to the knowledge of God. I'm going to give time to the Word of God. I want that to feed my soul. I want it to cause me to be stronger in God. I want to grow in the knowledge of God. And let me just give you a secret here. As I grow in God, God grows in me. He becomes bigger. He becomes larger. And I see I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Let's love Him here this morning. Praise God. Let's stand. So I've got to I don't know what to call it. I'd call it a secret, but it's not a secret. I got a prescription. I got a prescription for you. Because there are things that are in our life that get out of control. We begin to harbor feelings. We begin to harbor emotions. Begin to harbor spirits. I don't have time to go into this, but you go back and you look at that Matthew 13 and 32. And he's talking about that mustard seed. He said, it's just a small little mustard seed. He said, but it grows into something real, real big. So it becomes the greatest herb among us. But then the Bible says, that the birds filled its branches. I'm still working on that one, all right? But throughout the scripture, the birds represent spirits. Throughout scripture, the birds represent spirits. That doesn't mean that it represents all evil spirits, but represents, could represent good spirits. The Bible said that when Jesus was baptized, the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Didn't say it was a dove. It said like a dove. In other words, gently, majestically, peacefully, signifying that the dove was good. You go back into Noah, and Noah sent forth a raven first. And the raven didn't return. You know why? Because a raven is a basically like carnivorous. And so it was pillaging upon all the dead things that was out there. But when he sent forth the dove came back empty. But then when he sent forth the dove again, the dove brought back signs of life, new growth. And so these spirits like to harbor in your tree. You say, well, I can't keep all of the birds out. I can't, you know, say, okay, now, Mr. Dove, you can stay, but you over here, you got to go. Crows and ravens, you got to go. No, Dove, you get to stay. Understand, but you can let the birds fly overhead, but you don't have to let them build a nest in your hair. You don't have to let them stick around. And you know what's good and what's wrong. The Bible said that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so you've got to be careful about the thoughts that you ponder on. I'm just going to say it as I feel it. You don't need to be thinking about how and when you're going to quit church. Because giving time to that gives life to that. And giving life to that causes that to grow. And you may think to yourself, well, you know what? I mean, I really am not considering quitting church, but I've thought about that. You got to bring every captivity, every thought into captivity. Bring it to the knowledge of Christ. You got to tear down every imagination that is not of God. You got to be quick to decipher. This is good, this is bad. All things grow. Small things grow into big things. Small bad things grow into large bad things. Small good things grow into large good things. It's because life is in it. And so you've got to be careful about the thoughts that you allow to ponder, remain in your mind. You can't sit there and think on those things. Paul told the church in Philippi, he said, whatsoever things are honest, just, good, lovely. He said, if there's any virtue, if there be any praise, so all these things that are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Let those things grow in you. And so here's the prescription. You may have given it time, and that small thing may have grown into a large thing. Small issue may have grown into a big issue. Jesus talked about that mustard tree again Actually, this was the second time that he had talked about the mustard tree, because the first time he talked about the mustard tree, the mustard seed, he said it like this. He said, if you have faith like as of a grain of a mustard seed, you would be able to speak unto this large thing. You would be able to speak unto this mountain. And you got just small faith. But you would be able to speak unto large issues and say, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And he said, it shall be done. And your faith grows and grows to the point that Jesus would look at the one individual, the centurion, and he would say, I have not seen such great faith in all of Israel. Great faith. You know where you get great faith? You grow small faith. And your small faith starts growing and growing and growing. I feel the unction of the Spirit here this morning. Some of you need to take time to come down to an altar. And you need to speak to your issue. You need to speak to your problem. It's become a rather large thing. It has prevented you. It has hindered you along the road. Problems in life that have grown astronomically enormous may seem insignificant and trivial to others, but in your life, it takes up the whole focus. You know why? Because you're face to face with it. But the further you get away from it, the smaller it's going to get. Some of you, it's time to speak to the issue and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, be thou removed in Jesus' name. It doesn't matter what it is. It may be temptation. It may be life's problems. But enough is enough. It's time to speak to the mountain in Jesus' name. Be thou removed. That thing that keeps coming back again and again and again and again and bothering you, it needs a good ignoring. It needs put away. It needs left in the casket, left in the graveyard. Don't give it time. Don't give it significance. Let it die. Let it die. Cause it to die. Ignore it. Small things become big things. Pastor, I just feel so insignificant. I just feel so small. I just feel so vulnerable. I'm giving you a prescription here today. You need to immerse yourself into the Word of God. Immerse yourself into the Word of God. Make sure, be disciplined enough that you're getting up on a daily basis, and somewhere along the road, you're making time to pray. You're adding to your life. You're adding to your life. And when you add things to that life, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. I don't want to add problems. I don't want to add temptation. I don't want to add negativity. I don't want to add all of life's bad issues. I want to add goodness. I want to add joy. I want to add peace. Long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, kindness. Against these there is no law. I want to add these things to my life. Hallelujah. You'll become a stronger individual. You'll become a stronger Christian. You'll be able to make it. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it, but you're going to have to cut some things out of your life. You're going to have to put some things away. Those small things become big things. You're going to have to put a stop to other things. Well, thank you, Jesus.